Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 51 of Season 7 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action film Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today is John Parker of the Bat Minute. Welcome to the welcome back to the show this season, John.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me back, although returning, but talking about something very, very different.
Well, obviously, every season is different. You know, you can't, if we were talking about the same thing every season, it just isn't as much fun, you know? So I mix it up a little bit.
There is a show that does that. I can't remember what it was called, but I think they just watched, I can't remember what it was. They watched like one movie over and over and over and over, and they just talk about it, and it slowly starts to get stranger, basically.
I think that's what Robert Black did, didn't he?
Oh, he might have done it as well, yeah.
It's possible, yeah. No, you can't just keep talking about the same, in my opinion, you can't just keep talking again and again about the same movie, you know, because then you have to, like, try and think back, okay, what did I talk about last time I talked about that episode? You know, like, it would be a little strange. You know, you'd be doing a lot more research. Because you'd be like, okay, well, we talked about this and we talked about that. So, you know, let's find something else to talk about. And then what do you do if your guest brings up something that you've already talked about? You said, oh, we talked about that 6 seasons ago. You know, so
you've got to keep all that in your mind.
That's right. That's right. That's too much organized. I'm organized. I actually am very organized when it comes to this, but I'm not that organized. You know, there's a limit to my organization, I guess you could say.
Good. You don't want to drive yourself crazy.
No, no, not at all. Not at all. Okay, so minute 51 begins with Simon getting on his Robin and ends with Simon and his men entering a lobby. So we ended things yesterday with Simon showing up as Bob.
I mean, I've got a lot to say about this immediately. I mean, Jeremy Irons, right? I love him. I love him. He's a god to me. I adore the guy. The accent, kind of terrible though, isn't it?
Oh, completely.
But at first, I've watched this movie nonstop since it came out, you know. But going through it for this, at first I was like, yeah, let me mock the accent a little bit. But then the more I thought about it, I was like, no, you know what though? It kind of fits in with the first movie. Because what we learn about the character, I don't want to jump ahead, but, you know, we learn is connections.
Well, we already know that he's – no, we already know at this point that he is –
oh, yeah, you've hit that point already, haven't you? Yeah, okay.
So I can just freely talk about it now. Was it last week or the week before? I'm trying to remember.
It's around these minutes, isn't it? It's around this kind of moment.
I believe it was 2 weeks ago when Niall was on. I think we talked about it.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Yeah. You got the moment.
Yes.
But I thought, well, it fits in with Hans because he has a very similar moment where he does a questionable accent as well.
Yes, that is true. That is true. But he does it there, but it's done for very different reasons. I mean, Hans is doing it in order to, quote unquote, save his life, I guess you can say. Mm-hmm. Simon is not doing it for that reason. Simon is doing it because of the facade.
Part of his scheme.
Well, exactly. Because if Hans hadn't shown up and talked to Takagi that way, maybe. Okay. I would have bought that a little more that there's a real connection. You know, there's a familial connection of the way that they pretend to be Americans, you know, in certain situations.
They both practiced together when they were kids.
That's right. That's right. You know, when they were doing their Battle of the Bulge type of impressions, you know, it's like, hey, let's pretend that we're Americans.
in a way, like I'm saying this, but it's not me, like, having, you know, finding fault with the movie. I love that it's kind of a bad accent. It's great. It adds to it to me.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's what Bob Thompson is for. You know, you need it.
Yeah.
And so he met up with Ricky on Friday and, you know, Ricky was really surprised and he asked Ricky to show him around, which I find really funny. You know, that you know, that he meets up with Ricky with that. And, you know, he gets close enough. He brings him close enough at the beginning of this minute. And he sees the crater that the destruction from the bomb has caused. And his first words out of his mouth is, "Holy Toledo, somebody had fun."
What a great line. Holy Toledo. Is that even a phrase? Is he just making this up?
No, it's a real phrase. It is a phrase.
It is.
Yes. Yes.
I love it.
Yes. But so what it reminded me of, and obviously, you know, having you as a guest, it was the perfect choice. You know, it wasn't planned, but who is a character that you're aware of outside of this movie, obviously, who uses the word holy very often?
I mean, there's quite
a lot. That's related to you, that's connected to
I
you.
I mean, there is, of course, it comes up a lot in old school Batman.
That's right. That's what I'm referring to.
So, which we are talking about next season on Batman.
There you go.
Well, actually, no, I'm saying that, but we haven't even started releasing the current season. So,
but that's fine.
Yeah.
It's good to keep people anticipating that they know what they're going to come up with. So
that's something I kind of I understand why it's not in modern Batman. You know, they go for a very different vibe. But I think as a little nod to the fans, they should throw it in there every now and then, you know.
Right, but you guys did do Batman and Robin where they said it. So
they did indeed. They did.
Okay, so do you know first of all? So here I'm going to test a little bit of test your knowledge of old school Batman from the 60s.
You know, it's not great. I'll be honest. That's part of the fun of doing it.
That is correct.
So yeah,
I agree. Do you know how many episodes they released of that show?
Let me think. Because I'm thinking about how many seasons they were and how many episodes. Oh, that's actually a tough one. We are going to do a sideshow where we go through the series, because obviously we're doing the movie. So I will find out at some point. But let me think, because there's three seasons, I believe. How many are there? I'm going to say 65.
Okay, there were 120 episodes.
Whoa. I've got them all as well. I see, this is the thing. I've got them all on DVD, but who watches DVDs anymore? They're downstairs. I could go and grab them. I could have cheated.
You could have, but I don't know if you would have had time to get there to do that.
The listeners wouldn't know. You'd edit it out. No, that's fantastic. That's amazing. Wow. It's so hard to wrap our head around that because, like, especially here in England, like, we never – our TV programs never had the amount of episodes that
– Well, no. The TV shows from the 50s and 60s had amazingly long seasons. You know, there's no question about that. It's not – you know, it's not as if there's something wrong with it. You know, in the 80s – and the 90s in America, they started having, you know, 22 or 24 episode seasons. That's what they did. And nowadays they have 10 episode seasons and that's it. You know, they really start changing everything around. Okay.
See, our tradition here is to do six.
Okay.
Like for everything. Well, actually six at most. And then you get stuff like Sherlock where they're like, nah, you're getting three.
Exactly. It's true. No, but they're also longer episodes. You know, they're three episodes or six episodes, but they're not 22 minutes. You know, like in America, a TV show is either 22 or 42 minutes, you know, depending if it's a half hour or an hour show. But now,
I mean, all of our comedies, they're closer to 30 minutes. They're over 22. They're closer to 30.
Exactly.
But you get six of them. That's it.
That's right. That's right. So, okay. So we've established that there are 120 episodes of the original Batman. How many references does Robin make, Burt Ward, throughout the entire series where he says, holy something?
Okay. At least it's once an episode, I'm going to say. But we're going to then increase that because there's many episodes where he says it about 10 times. I'm going to say references. I'm going to go with a ridiculous figure. I'm going to say 620.
No, sorry. There's 256 references.
Well, I did acknowledge it was ridiculous. I was going overboard somewhat, whoa, that's still loads though. That's
right.
That's nuts.
And what's even crazier is I printed them all out.
Whoa. Oh, and some of them are just absolutely like the most stupid thing you've ever heard.
Oh, completely, completely. You know, so I'm obviously going to skip through some of them because I'm, you know, I don't think people are going to want to sit here for 20 minutes for me to go through all 256 references, but just some of them are just crazy. You have Holy Anagrams, Holy Armadillos, Holy Ashtray, Holy Astringent Plum-like Fruit.
Oh, that's gold.
Okay. Holy Ball and Chain, Holy Bargain Basements, Holy Benedict Arnold.
Oh, that's good too.
Holy Blackbeard.
I can't even imagine the context.
No, I don't know. And they also have Holy Bluebeard.
That's quite a good one. See, I remember vividly there was one where I think he says Holy Haberdashery.
No, I'm going in alphabetical order, so I haven't gotten there yet. Holy
that
one, Bunions.
That one's lodged in my head.
All right, we'll get there soon, and we'll see what else there is. Holy Cinemascope. Holy Contribution to the Delinquency of Minors.
Oh, see, they're the ones I love. Ones that it doesn't make a bit of sense.
That's right. Holy Deposit Slip. Holy Diversionary Tactics.
Okay.
Holy Fate Worse Than Death.
I mean, that one kind of works. Yeah.
Okay. What else do we got here? He twice says Holy Flypaper.
Twice? I remember him saying that one two times.
Yeah.
Holy, I know there's one.
Holy Graft Zeppelin.
What?
Here you go. Holy Haberdashery. There you go.
Hey, there you go. There you go. I remember that one. Because as a kid, I saw it and was like, what's a haberdashery? I didn't know what it was as a child.
That's right. Holy Hardest Metal in the World.
Holy Hardest Metal in the world. You could put that in Batman and Robin and it wouldn't seem out of place.
That's correct. Holy Human Collector's Item. Holy,
that's creepy.
Holy Human Pressure Cookers.
That's also creepy.
Holy Interplanetary Yardstick.
Okay. These are getting better and better. What? Holy, what?
Holy Journey to the Center of the Earth. Holy Koufax. That's an interesting one.
You're giving me an idea here. When we do this season, we're going to come up with a load that we do at the end of every episode, I think.
All right. I if you want, I can send you the list if that'll make it easier for you. Holy One Track Back Computer Mind.
That's right. I was racking my brain trying to remember. I was like, there's something with a back computer and it's really long. That's the one.
That's right. Holy Priceless Collection of Etruscan Snoods.
That's another one that I adore because, again, I as a kid, I'm like, what is he talking about? I didn't know what that was.
That's right. Holy Uncanny Photographic Mental Processes.
Incredible. He is like on another level. I'm saying that like he wrote them himself, you know.
That's right. I had seen one other that blew my mind. I can't remember where it is. Maybe it was the Delinquency of Minors that I saw back then. There was one that was really, really long. And I can't find it here. So maybe that's what it was. This is just, you know, it's just crazy. The various things they have here. Holy Robert Louis Stevenson.
Okay.
Holy Star.
I can almost imagine the episode that's in. So I think I have seen it.
Okay. Holy Sarcophagus, which probably was in with King Tut.
It absolutely will be. I don't know off the top of my head, but I guarantee you're right.
Yeah. Holy Schizophrenia.
Oh, okay.
Holy Sudden Incapacitation.
All right, I'm stealing that one. I'm using that for when I'm tired.
Yeah. Okay. So I mean I actually found also another place which explains the references on 20 of them. 20 of the best ones.
That's the crucial bit because they don't make any sense out of context.
That's right. Wow. Holy Tintinnabulation.
Whoa. Okay.
It says,
I don't remember that one.
Tintinnabulation means the ringing of sound of bells. However, you don't often hear this word used, let alone as an explanation like Robin's.
Is it more in the, you know, in the industry? People who ring bells use that word.
Maybe. Well, it's like tinnitus, I guess. I don't know.
There'll be a connection there. Yeah.
That's right. So they explain the contribution to the delinquency of minor ones. It says in season one episode, the Londinium larcenies. Lady Prudence remarks to Robin that she received an MS in finishing school. He wonders what an MS is, and she says that it is the mistresses of shoplifting, to which Robin remarks, holy contribution to the delinquency of minors.
Oh, whoa, that's amazing. I can't wait to do that one.
Holy D'Artagnan.
Holy D'Artagnan. What? I'm trying to think what, like, villain they could be fighting where he says something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just...
There's got to be a sword fight going on or something.
Right. Maybe.
Then again, they didn't really use a lot of weapons, but it was very... You forget just how PC. Well,
it was all bleeped out with the bams and the whams and the kazams and all that stuff. Holy
it's
hole
such
in
smart
a donut.
Way to get around violence, you know.
That's right. Holy hole in a donut. In season one episode Zelda the Great, Batman is about to capture a magician after she stole some priceless jewelry, but she escapes using sleight of hand. Robin is right after Batman and remarks, holy hole in a donut. The words make no sense in this situation. Oddly enough, a track on the Batman soundtrack was titled Holy Hole in a Donut.
Yeah, I'm trying to sort of make it make sense in my head. What could he, maybe it's, no, it don't, there's no defending it.
Right, and what they say here though is that the holy astringent plum like fruit, it only took the entire run of the series, but in literally the last episode of the show, season three's Minerva Mayhem and Millionaires, we got the most amazing Robin exclamation ever. There's a real chance that this was just so perfect that the producers realized that there was nowhere else to go after this, so they just canceled the show. The conceit of this episode is that Minerva, played by Zsa Zsa Gabor, runs a spa where she uses a special piece of equipment to get her rich clients to tell her their deeper secrets, mostly money-related. Batman and Robin travel to the spa, where they are escorted by her goons, leading to the following amazing exchange. Batman, yes, I'm looking forward to Minerva's famous eggplant jelly vitamin scalp massage. Goon, Minerva thought you might pop in to the persimmon pressurizer first. Robin, persimmon pressurizer? Holy astringent plum-like fruit. Batman then says, only astringent until ripe, Robin.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So you see, what's interesting, though, is that some of the ones that are listed as the Tony stuff is not on the list of the 256. So yeah, you're going to have to do a little more research on that one when you do it. I mean, I can send it to you, but you're going to have to.
Please do. I'm looking forward to what ones we do get in the film, because off the top of my head, I can't think of too many. I mean, he, and I don't want to spoil it for people, he does say some around the scene with the shark, I believe.
Yeah,
say.
Probably.
The famous shark moment.
That's right. The rubber shark.
What are you talking about? It's totally real.
Yes, for sure. For sure. All right. So actually, we probably should, but he doesn't say Holy Toledo. That he does not say.
So. If only he'd coined it. You know,
that's correct.
But I love, again, being you know, English, I don't know some of these Americanisms. You might be the same, but I assume that sounds like something he's saying to come across as like your typical Johnny America, you know. Like that's like a common phrase.
It's basically him, it's instead of him saying holy, it's like holy Toledo. You know,
if he said holy sh**, I think it would be a bit more, it wouldn't sell what he's selling as well. Whereas
well, it wouldn't
this
sell.
Sounds like such a colloquialism. It's like, oh, well, you know, he's got to be one of us.
Well, the reason it wouldn't sell is because of his demeanor. His demeanor is not, I don't know if trash is the right word, but, you know, he doesn't seem like the type of person who would swear.
No.
You know, the character that Simon is playing, you know, Bob Thompson does not seem like someone who would be, you know, he's more wholesome than that. And therefore he would say Holy Toledo instead of saying something else. You know, I think that's what
absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely.
But
I think it would be more evidence against him if he started doing stuff like that.
Exactly. And his next line makes absolutely no sense, where he goes, somebody had fun. So you'd think that someone who has to clean up the mess is not going to be praising the person who made the mess.
I think it's just, you know, again, it's selling his character. He's upbeat. He's Mr. America. He's like, oh, we, you know, oh, shucks, we can fix it. I think that's what he's going for. It's like, you know, somebody had their fun. Now I'm here to fix it because I'm great.
Exactly. It's true. And then, you know, he turns to Walsh and says, I'd appreciate it if you'd show my associates the way down. And he goes, yeah, sure. And then he calls over to the cops. He goes, Jimmy, you got that flashlight? Murphy, come on, you too. And then he turns to the guy who's next to him. Now, actually, before we even get there, my first question is why is, like, Ricky the expert to take these engineers down to show them the mess?
Yeah, no, I was thinking the same thing. Like, is there a reason, or is he just, like, one of the most senior people? Is that all it is?
I think he's one of the most senior people, but they also had to find a way to kill him. You know, spoiler to anyone who doesn't know that happens this week. But the bottom line is that you would think that if this city engineer shows up, who's going to show him around? You know, somebody who knows the area, who they would have already had there at that point or whatever. Not just one of the the detectives that's there that, oh, hey, I'll show you around downstairs, you know.
Maybe just because of the seriousness and the security lockdown, maybe he has to be there regardless.
Maybe he has to be there, but then, you know, maybe he should have someone else there that knows a little bit more about it. I don't know.
Yeah. I get that. But maybe they actually had that discussion when they were coming up with the scene and were like, we can't have too many characters, though.
Right. Could be. And then he turns to one of Simon's goons who's standing next to him. And he goes, Rick Walsh. And the guy says, John Gunther. So the actor who plays this goon, his name is Timothy Adams. And he has 32 IMDb credits. He was born on August 4th, 1967. And his two nicknames are either Flex or Muscles.
Oh, my God. He can't. He gave himself those names. Nobody calls him.
Probably.
That.
That's probably true. And from 1991 to 1995, he was married to Daisy Fuentes, who was an MTV. She was an MTV VJ. She was the very first Latin American VJ from there.
Remember when that was a thing, being a VJ?
That's
and right. It wasn't just they introduced the song; like it was a big thing.
Yeah, for sure. It was great.
I don't know what the equivalent now is. I guess like a TikTok person, I guess.
No, but now everyone does it on their own. It's not as if you're on like a station or whatever. It's very different. It's very different, yeah. So then Ricky starts moving along with some of the cops and obviously a lot of the terrorists, not realizing that they're terrorists, and he starts walking down the stairs, you know, into the subway area. And at this point, someone like tosses a satchel to Simon, who grabs it like a briefcase satchel, something like that, and then Simon goes off in the opposite direction. And then Ricky says something really strange. He turns to this guy Gunther and says, "You were probably at the World Trades. You know what a mess that was." So
ooh, yeah,
no, but again, he's talking about the World Trade Center that happened the year before in '93. He's not even, you know,
the first time
he doesn't know what's going to, you know, basically you can say that was nothing compared to what's going to happen, you know, in 6 years from now, you know,
it's, I mean, it was, you know, not that we're ranking these things. It was bad enough the first time, but it's also foreshadowing, isn't it? You know?
That's right. Yeah. And it's scary looking at the references in this movie to World Trade Center. You know, it's like,
oh, wow. there's just complete shots of them like multiple times.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Which I suppose, you know, there would be because it was such an iconic sight, especially in film in general.
Yeah, but also they're talking about terrorist attacks in New York. And a year before, there was this relatively small terrorist attack, I guess you can say. You know.
Well, again, though, only in comparison to what came later.
Right, of course. Completely. And then you start hearing the music of the theme music of the movie, you know, but it's done very subtly. It's just like a little drum roll that they add in here, you know, making it a little bit more ominous, you know. And then we get pretty much almost half a minute of Simon just walking. You know, we don't know where he's walking, and you know, a car stops behind him, and you see five humongous businessmen, you know, get out, and they all join.
I understand there is guys, right? But
yeah.
Maybe if you're trying to be a bit sneaky and undercover, you might want to get some smaller dudes. You
know? That's right. Well, one of them is small.
One.
Yeah.
They all look like they could knock me out, though.
No, they could probably knock out most MXMers. Yeah.
I just think it's not necessarily the most undercover. Because like Jeremy Irons, when you see him later on with his, you know, his sleeveless top on, you're like, oh, he's actually quite ripped. But in the suit and that, he does look a bit unassuming. He does just, like, if you told me he's a businessman, I'd be like, yeah, okay.
That's right. And I mean, and one of these guys is humongous.
Yeah,
you know, he looks like he's 7 feet tall. You know, it's like, okay.
That's a strange tactic, but
exactly.
You know, it's a movie.
And I love how they just leave the car there. Yeah, it's like we can park here. And they're parking next to a fire hydrant. Like,
did they buy the car? Did they rent the car? I think they've just like taken it.
I don't know. Fair. I mean, it is a Chevy Caprice, which is what policemen used at the time. So maybe they did it on purpose to make it seem that everyone will just assume it's an undercover police car.
Clever. They've thought of everything.
Yes, except for the fact that they park next to a fire hydrant, which is illegal.
Yeah. Oh, can you not do that? See, I don't know. We don't have them here. I think our version of them, if I remember correctly, I think it's under the ground.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fair.
So I am always fascinated seeing them in movies. I'm like, oh, look at those. Is that cool? Strange foreign things.
Yeah.
Something that is strange, but to me is not strange because I have the weirdest fashion sense ever. Simon has the oddest / best tie.
That is correct.
I've ever seen.
Choice. It looks like it has like an apple on it or something, doesn't it? Is that supposed to be an apple on it?
Yeah, and it's not just an apple. It appears to be an apple on, like, a string.
Yeah, it's maybe when you know, we see him later in the week, maybe we'll be able to get a little bit more of an idea. But, yeah, it's very strange.
Because my brain when I looked at it. Thinking
no,
like,
it's a picture on the tie. It might have a string. It's not like it's something that's hanging. You know, that's it's not like moving like a pendulum or anything.
No, that'd be great though. That'd be amazing.
Yes.
I was racking my brain when I was doing my notes, like looking at it, thinking,
it's
a bit kooky and it's a bit weird.
That's right. It's completely
flat. Is it
flat.
Meant to mean something? Is it like a symbol of something that I'm not getting?
I don't know. Maybe the Big Apple. That would be the closest that I could think of from that.
I was thinking that, and then I was like, then I went a different route, and I was thinking, is it like a biblical reference to, you know, the apple and all this kind of stuff? I was like, it could be, but what's it saying?
I don't know how. I mean, I am familiar with the biblical references, but I wouldn't know how that would compare to what Simon is doing here.
No, exactly. I mean, I suppose he's a bit of a snake, and he's a deceiver. You know?
Okay,
but it could be that.
Could be. It could all just be that he wants to be different. You know.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, and it suits him because he's smart and sophisticated, but he's got a bit of a kooky side. You know.
Yes. Yeah. Well, maybe it's because of all those migraines.
Yeah.
And then these six guys all show up inside this humongous. It looks like a hall, or you know, we'll find out tomorrow that it's the lobby of something. But it's just humongous. It really is. That's how this minute ends. You know, as they get into this large area, wherever that may be.
Where are they going? What's the plan?
I don't know. It's something with an apple. It's the apple is
key. That's the most important part of the whole scheme.
That's right. It's something with an apple on a string.
Yeah, he's trying to tell us, you know.
Yeah. So that's all I have to say about this minute. Do you have anything else you want to say about the minute?
That's all about this one. I mean, I just like it because we get a lot of Jeremy Irons, and who doesn't want lots of him in their life? Well, you know,
you're getting a lot of Jeremy Irons all week. Stick around.
Listeners, I didn't ask for that, by the way. It was just a nice surprise because I think, you know, if you said we're going to do another Gruber, beforehand, I would have been like, no, don't do that. That's a stupid idea. No one can live up to the first one. But somehow they found the only guy who could live up to it.
That's right. I mean, they did a nice job of that, yes. So the script, trying to continue from where we left off on Friday is not going to be possible because they switched things around. Because in the script, it already goes to McClane and Zeus. And then you have to wait 5 pages for it to come back to here. All right. So like everything that happens in the park where Simon is telling them about the filling up the water, that all happens now in the script. And then it comes to here. So I'm skipping that for now. I'll be back here next week, the week after, you know, when we get there.
That probably made a lot more sense, like when they were writing it, to do it in that way. But yeah. When you shoot a film, you can chop and change a bit more than
that's
a
right.
book. I mean,
that's right. So it says here, subway blast site, Simon and Targo, both wearing hard hats and suits and ties, walk towards two uniformed police officers guarding the barricaded perimeter of the blast site from pedestrians. All the other police, fire, and EMS personnel and vehicles have been diverted to deal with the bomb in the schools. In the background, the 10 industrial dump trucks are pulling up to the site and parking next to the blast site. Simon approaches the cops. He opens his wallet and flashes proper credentials. Simon, in an American accent, says, "Bob Thompson, city engineer." Looks at the crater. "Holy Toledo. Somebody had fun. Cop number one." "Unbelievable, huh? What can I do for you, Mr. Thompson?" "The mayor wants this train up and running. That's where I come in. We're going to clear the rubble and gauge the extent of the damage." "That was quick. Wall Street, son. When rich people want something, they don't wait." Cop number one laughs. "Come on. We'll take you down." The two cops lead Simon and Targo down the station steps. Simon stops. Targo continues behind the cops, pulling a silenced handgun from a shoulder holster. So it seems more devious even in the script as to what their plans are here.
I think the finished movie does it a bit better.
Yes, I agree.
I think you need to drag it out a little bit and tease things.
Yes, I agree with you. All right, so...
Because that's actually one of the best bits of this week is it takes time to get to what they're doing.
Right.
It doesn't rush it.
Correct. No, but you're talking about rushing the fact that they're going to be shooting Walsh? Or you're talking about in the gold depository?
It's more like just... I think in that, it seemed to instantly sort of be getting to the point of what their plan is, what they're doing.
No, their plan is to shoot these cops when they're going down. That's
what I mean. Whereas in the finished movie, it's more like you're not quite sure what they're up to. You're like, are they going to kill people?
Right.
They're being a bit more devious. They're playing characters more for longer.
Right.
So they could well have a scheme in the finished movie here where no one dies.
That's right. And that was more or less the plan. You know, again, I'm still shocked, and we talked about this, I think it was 3 weeks ago. I'm shocked that nobody died from the bomb.
yeah, that's a bit.
That's unbelievable. Far-fetched. I mean, we know that in the script, we know that there were people who died in the bomb in the department store at the beginning. That we know from the script, because there's a scene in the department store itself with a woman picking up a briefcase. You know, similar to what they do in the Untouchables, you know, where the little girl picks up the briefcase.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing. But they decided to, you know, not show us that. You know, so we don't know how many people were killed in that blast. I mean, we know that Simon is willing to kill, but is that his plan? You know,
Well, that's the thing. You don't know. That's you don't right. know what. You haven't got a clue what he's up to, really.
No, but I'm talking about even at the end, we don't know whether what his plan was. You know, like, for instance, it goes the same thing with Gruber. I mean, with Hans, we know that he planned to just kill Takagi, and that was it. There was no plan beyond that to kill people directly. You know, obviously, yeah. you have, you know, all the hostages that are going to end up dying because the roof is being blown. But, you know, that's in order to cover his escape. It's not him going around shooting people, you know, from that perspective. So, I don't know. All right. So every Monday we have a segment called McTiernan Monday, where my guests will give their top five John McTiernan films. So what have you got for us, John? Start with your number five and work your way up.
I imagine these might be similar to Niall's, right? He hasn't told me what he picked, but I just have a vibe. Maybe they're going to be sort of similar.
I will tell you. I will tell you when you're done. I'm not even going to tell you before you're done. You have to do all five, and then I'll tell you whether you're similar.
All right, number five. People who know me might think I would put this higher, actually. But no, I've gone for number five is The Hunt for Red October.
Okay.
I didn't want to, I just want to say quick. I love that. I weirdly got into it as a kid. It's not really a kid's movie, but I was a strange child. Number four is another movie that I got into as a kid, and everyone else seemed to hate it, but I think it's amazing, and people are coming round to it now. Last Action Hero. And number three, I've put this movie, Die Hard with a Vengeance, which you might think, oh, three? Why not one? Because, to be honest, the top three, you could really rearrange these in any order in my head. Number two, Die Hard, which I think one and three are equal. I've gone back and forth on that over the years. Like, oh, this one's better. That who cares? They're both great. I love them. Two's fine, but one and three, that's what you need. Then number one, I have put Predator.
Okay, so you have four of the same movies on your list. And two of them you have in the same spot.
Okay. Cool.
You want to try?
I
know guess,
we both you, have to have picked Predator.
Do you want to try and guess which are the two that are in the same spot?
I'm gonna guess the same spot will be Die Hard with a Vengeance and Last Action Hero.
No, only Last Action Hero. So Niall's number five was Nomads.
Okay.
His number four, that makes sense. Number four was Last Action Hero. His number three was Predator.
Oh, three? Yeah. Oh, I thought he would have put that one.
His number two is Die Hard. And his number one is this movie, Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Whoa. Okay. He did say to me the other day he thinks this one might be better. So there you go. That was his hint.
He was hinting.
But I mean, me and him have had many chats about Last Action Hero, because we both don't understand why it was reviled. Even as kids, we were like, well, what are you talking about? This is great. And then you watch it when you're older and you're like, yeah, this is great. We were right all along.
I agree. I think that it's definitely underrated.
It's like ahead of its time in many ways. In fact, listeners, if you've written it off because of all the publicity back in the day, give it a go. Give it a watch. Maybe it's like a Sunday afternoon movie.
Yes. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. All right, John, would you like to tell people where they can find John Parker?
Yes, indeed. If you want to hear more from me for some strange reason, you can find me at my podcasts, Bat Minute, Miami Minutes, and Hedvig Inch by Angry Inch. When you hear this, the only one of those sort of running regularly will be Bat Minute, because the others are sort of finished for the seasons. But you can check them out anyway. Lots of content. And I don't know. I guessed on a million shows. Just type in my name somewhere. I'll pop up, I'm sure.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. And if you want to shoot me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Tony comes marching home again. Hoorah. Hoorah. Bob. We'll give him a hearty welcome then. Hoorah! Hoorah! The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies, they will all turn out, and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.